Welcome to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray concludes our series, Thriving in Babylon, with a message titled, The End. It's just the beginning. Now here's Pastor Ray.
As our series, Thriving in Babylon, reaches the end, I want you to go to the end of Daniel. To Daniel chapter 12, last chapter of Daniel, and to the end verse, verse 13. There's a lot of the ends that I mentioned there. The end of the series, the end of the book, the end verse, verse 13. And as you're finding that, the truth that I want to end this series with is this. In God's kingdom, there are no such things as endings. There are only beginnings. In God's kingdom, there's no such thing as an end, only a beginning. So for Ron and Cheryl, this may not come. I don't know if this will be good news to them or bad news to them, but there's no such thing as a retirement. Some of you have figured that out. Or retirement is not what you expected. There is no retirement, only a repurposing to a new, a different, and a higher kingdom calling. Thinking, how could it be higher than what they've done? I don't know, but God has a new and a higher kingdom calling for Ron and Cheryl Cochran. It's their new beginning. And I'm not just saying that as a pastor and a friend to encourage them. I think this is a prophetic word for them. And I think the Lord's going to reveal that to them. It's going to roll out over time, but I think the Lord's going to show them what he has for them to do that is going to continue to impact the kingdom in a significant way. So, in God's kingdom, there are no endings, only beginnings. As the Nazi guards were leading Dietrich Bonhoeffer from his prison cell to the gallows, as he left, he said to a fellow prisoner, "This is the end, but for me, it's the beginning of life." It's the end, but for me, it's the beginning of life. In God's economy, endings are always beginnings to kingdom life. Endings are always beginnings. Throughout the Bible, we see this to be true. For example, the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the last recorded history of God's people. Not the last book in the Bible, but it's the last recorded history. It's a book of history. What I love about the book of Acts is that it doesn't end. If you have a Bible and you want to check it out, you'll find that I'm not stretching the truth here. There's no end to it. You get to the end of the book of Acts, chapter 28, and there is no end. The tape of the Spirit's work through the believers simply stops recording, but the action continues. Acts chapter 28, verse 31, the final verse, the end verse, just pauses. There's no the end. There's no that's all, folks. There's no turn out the lights, the party's over. There's no I'm out of here. There's none of that. But the baton is passed. And to this day, Acts 29, and if you look in your Bible for Acts 29, is not there. But there is an Acts 29 that is being recorded. History is being recorded up to the present day through the work of the Holy Spirit. There was no end. There was just a baton pass, including the work that God has done through this church over the years is being recorded in the annals of the book of Acts, chapter 29. So, there are no endings, only beginnings, which leads to a corollary truth that I want to leave with you as this series ends. God's kingdom is a baton pass. There are no endings in God's kingdom, only beginnings. And the kingdom of God is a baton pass. We never end. We simply hand off. We simply turn over. And in a few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about some exciting things that Pastor Joel and Pastor Ron are turning over to some new faces here that are going to help to lead us into the future. It's going to be exciting. And these kingdom baton passes are what initiates these new beginnings. So no endings, only beginnings. Baton pass initiates what those new beginnings are going to look like. So as it relates to Daniel, I told you to look up the last chapter and the last verse, verse 13 of chapter 12. As Daniel ends, We hear Gabriel saying to Daniel, listen to this, be faithful until the end. You will rest, and at the end of your time, you will rise to receive your reward. In other words, Daniel's enduring faithfulness will simply transition to eternal fruitfulness. And that's a principle that would be true for you and for me as well. By extension, we are the recipients of this promise. Our enduring faithfulness now will transition to eternal fruitfulness or fruit bearing forever. Now, you need to understand that Scripture never uses that phrase, the end, in the terminal sense. It's always used in the transitional sense. Daniel served his God with integrity. As we have gone through these 12 chapters, what we found is that Daniel has served his God with integrity. He's navigated Babylonian culture with impact, with influence. He saw the future with insight. But now God says to him, listen, Daniel, your leg of the race is done, but your true work is just beginning. I want to show you. Go back to verse 3. Now, this is not said to Daniel specifically, but he would be included in this, and you and I would be included in what the angel is telling Daniel to write. Verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who are wise. What does that mean, wise? Well, it's a compilation of all of the godly qualities that we've witnessed in Daniel so far. He knew his God intimately. He was resolute in standing for God in the Babylonian culture. He was bold in his witness for God. He was obedient. He was faithful. He was all of those things. He was influential. He impacted people with the wisdom of God in Babylonian culture. That's what it means to be wise. In fact, it's actually described as you what wisdom is as you read further on into this verse. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, those who influence people to righteousness, that's what it means to be wise. Those who lead many to righteousness like the stars will shine like the stars forever and ever. Now that is referring to eternity and to an increased capacity to reflect God's glory and an ever-increasing influence. Do you realize that your influence in eternity isn't limited, but it's ever-increasing? I don't think we think about eternity in those terms, but when we get to heaven, our work and our influence is not going to stop. It's just the beginning. Remember, there's no end. There are only beginnings to life in God's kingdom. Ever-increasing influence. Now, Daniel notably impacted Babylonian culture. He impacted Babylon in his lifetime. Now think about this. His greatest influence wasn't what happened in his life in Babylon. His greatest influence is the book that bears his name, his story. Now think about that. Daniel is dead and gone 3,000 years ago, but his book continues to live on, impacting untold millions, maybe hundreds of millions of lives over the centuries, including ours here today. And that impact will last throughout eternity. Daniel's already in eternity. He's begun his eternity already, and his impact is still happening in earth and during time, but it will continue throughout eternity. So for Daniel, truly, the end was just the beginning. So you might ask, what does that have to do with me? Every time we hear a sermon, we probably should say that. What does this have to do with me? So what does this have to do with your life? Well, how about everything? It has everything to do with you and me. You see, your career, your ministry, your race, your season, and for sure, your life will reach the finish. That might sound dark and foreboding to you, but it's just the truth. You know, the death rate is still hovering around 100% for human beings. We will come to the end sooner than we think. I love the epitaph on a tombstone. There's like websites dedicated to humorous epitaphs. And I love the epitaph on one that says, this is what I expected, just not so soon. This is what we expect, and it will come sooner than we think. And so the question is, how do you want to script the end of your life so that you get a spectacular new beginning? How do you want to script the rest of your life to the end so that you have a shot at a spectacular new beginning? Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, endings are more important than beginnings. Well, what does it mean by that? Well, the end will determine the quality of the next beginning. Let me say that again. The end, what you bring to the end, will determine the quality of the next beginning. John MacArthur, who's a wonderful pastor, theologian, writes this on this particular verse, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. He notes, the faithfulness of the believer's witness in this life, the faithfulness of the believer's witness will determine their eternal capacity to reflect God's glory. Our faithfulness now, the faithfulness of our witness now will determine our eternal capacity to reflect God's glory in time and in eternity. And since that's true, you and I ought to live every day for the rest of our lives going forward with the end in view. We ought to live every day going forward with the end in view. So I want to give you an assignment. You know, you didn't come today thinking I was going to make you do homework, but I'm going to give you an assignment, and here it is. I want you to do some mental a mental exercise. Fast forward the tape of your life to the end, to the memorial service that will happen here at this church, either in this room or in the sanctuary, where somebody else is going to stand up here at a pulpit like this, and they are going to eulogize your life. They're going to give the eulogy. The word eulogy actually is a Greek word. It's a compound Greek word. And the phrase "eu" means good, and logos, a word, a good word. So you want a good word. I want a good word spoken of me at my memorial service. And if you're there at my service, don't let anyone with a bad word get up there, all right? And I'll do the same for you. It's a good word, right? And you want a good word to be spoken of your life on that day. So imagine what you want them to say. Imagine what they will say. Here's another part of this mental exercise. I want you to fast forward the tape to the end of all ends when you stand before God. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto all of us to die, to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, the word judgment doesn't necessarily have to be a negative. It can be a positive. We are the righteous and just judge will give an evaluation of our lives. And hopefully, he will eulogize your life. He will speak a good word about your life. So what you want men and women, the people who know you, to say on that day, the final day for you, or more importantly, what you want God to say of you in the end, means rewinding the tape to the beginning, to today, and beginning to live that way from now on. So do that mental exercise. Imagine the end. What do you want them to say? Then rewind and begin to live that way so that it's true of you on that final day. Live with the end in view. That's the best way to live. And by the way, that's the best practice for thriving in Babylon. We've been talking about how do we thrive in Babylon. Can I just give you if you get nothing else out of this series, here it is. Live with the end in view. Live as if you're going to stand before God someday, because you are. Live so that what he says of you, what you want him to say of you, will be true of you. Now, at this point, I think it would be good for me to give you a description of what goes into that evaluation of you at the end. So what is that? What's the evaluation based on? Well, it's the compilation of your thoughts, your attitudes, your motives, your words, and your actions throughout all of your days that will be under review by God. They add up. What you do now, It counts. They form patterns. They create a trend that is you. They tell your story, those attitudes and actions and patterns and habits and thoughts and words. They tell your story. Now, let me be very clear, forceful in saying that that doesn't affect your salvation. I'm not talking about your salvation here. Your salvation is by grace through faith and not by your works. So everyone say, whew. Turn to somebody and say, lucky for you. Lucky for you, lucky for me. Listen, your salvation will be rewarded with eternal life. So are we clear about that? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. And that will be rewarded with eternal life someday. What I'm talking about is your discipleship. Not your salvation, but your discipleship. How you work out that salvation between now and then. Your discipleship, your salvation will be rewarded with eternal life. Your discipleship will be rewarded with expanding eternal purpose, commensurate to the degree that you've worked out your salvation here and now. There's a difference. You're saved. You're getting eternal life. And that is glorious beyond description. But what you do in eternity, your capacity to reflect God's glory, the influence that you're going to have in eternity, hopefully will not be limited by what you've done now with this life. Now, I know some of you are trying to get your heads around that, but just bear with me on this. At the end of your life, those who know you, so I'm going to go back now to this mental exercise that I gave you to do. At the end of your life, those who know you will tell your story. So, be careful with the material that you hand over to them. Be careful. It'll come out in the end. More importantly, in the big end, the God who knows you will tell your story. The great preacher Henry Ward Beecher said, "One should go to sleep as homesick passengers do, saying, 'Perhaps in the morning we will see the shore.'" Make sure that your reputation, the reputation that you send ahead of your arrival, is worthy of eternal celebration. That's the description of your final evaluation. But what about your final reward? What does that look like? Well, the Bible ends by describing the rest of your eternity in Revelation chapter 22, the end of Revelation. So by the way, in undergrad Bible school, classes on Revelation also include classes on Daniel. The two really go hand in hand. It's the Old Testament book that really is expounded upon in this New Testament book called Revelation. And when you get to the end of Revelation, the Apostle John describes what your reward is going to look like. And so let me just give you some of the things that it says about what you get to do, what you get to experience as God rewards you with eternal life for your faithful service to Him. God will do away with sin's curse. When you get there, your reward is God will do away with the curse of sin. No longer will there be any curse. Aren't you glad for that? No more sin? Aren't you sick and tired of sin? I am. I'm sick and tired of sin. I'm sick and tired of my sin. I'm sick and tired of your sin. God will do away with sin's curse. Not only that, but God will banish all evil. Verse 15 says, outside of your eternal destination, outside are those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and all who love and practice falsehood. I so look forward to that time when that's just done. God says no more. He's put an end to it. And there will come an end to that. That's the one thing that will end. And then God will physically be with you. God will physically be with you in eternity. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. Don't you just long to be physically with God in his presence? Sometimes I do. When I'm praying by faith, now I'm longing for that day when I won't be praying by faith. I will be interacting in reality. I'll be seeing him with my sight. I long for that day to be in the presence of the Lord. Moreover, God will fully satisfy the deepest thirst of your being. The things that you long for, those pure desires, passions of your heart. It says, whoever is thirsty, come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Verse 17. And finally, God will assign you to eternally rule over his boundless creation. So you're not just going to make it there and kind of hang out. You got stuff to do. You and I will have an eternal assignment. And it says, verse 5, they will reign. They will reign. That means they will rule. What are you going to rule over? Think about that. They will reign forever and ever, John says of us. Think about that. You will administrate divine justice in universe beyond universe as God's co-ruler. Now, this isn't Bible. This is just Pastor Ray's surmising. But I think God is not done with creation. I think the one who is known first and foremost in the Bible as creator has not ceased to create. Now, he rested from his creation, but I think he's creating more and more and more and more stuff, with teeming with life. I don't know that it's human life, but with life. And he's going to assign us to rule and reign over the expanding universe. And we will have expanding work to do, expanding authority, expanding influence over God's creation. You think I'm off the base theologically with that? Jesus said, look at John chapter 14, I'm going back to what? To prepare. He's continuing to create. Now don't talk to the superintendent about this and say, he's given some weird theology. Just between us. So we're going to be busy in the best sense of the word, in the fruitfulness and the joy of serving as God's co-ruler will be indescribable. And while time, earthly time ends, you will be no closer to exhausting God's grace a billion years after you begun. The end is the beginning. And all that we can say to that is what the Apostle John said as he came to the close of the Bible and the beginning, the end of the Bible and the beginning of eternity. In verse 20, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Why don't you say that with me? Because that's a prayer. John says that as a prayer. And I hope you're ready to say that prayer with me. I say it, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let me pray for you. Would you bow your heads? Are you ready for Jesus to return? Have you made him the Lord, the boss, the ruler, the captain of your life? Have you surrendered? Have you bowed the knee? Have you bowed your heart and said, Jesus, take over me. I make you Lord of my life. Are you ready for his return? It could be today, could be tonight, could be this week. Are you ready? And are you ready for that role of ever-expanding influence in his kingdom? Or are there some changes that you need to make in how you're living? Your salvation is secure, but there's just some stuff that will hinder that good word that God wants to speak over you. Again, not your salvation, but the quality, the quantity of your reward. And I know that's not why we serve God, but it's a part of it. The Bible talks a lot about that. Are there some things that you need to leave behind today as you walk out of this place and surrender to Him to begin to live with the end in view from here on out? In either of those cases, if that speaks to you, would you just slip your hand up right now and say, Pastor Ray, would you include me in this final prayer? Right now, every head bowed, just lift your hand and say, Pastor Ray, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord, or I need to let go of some things to be able to live with Jesus as truly my Lord, the Lord of my life. Just lift your hand up and let me see who it is. Yeah. All right. You can put your hands down. Would you stand with me, please? God, I want to pray over my friends, your people here today. For those of you who are just now surrendering their lives to you and asking you to be their Lord, Savior, Lord of their lives, I pray that you would in this moment do just that. Save them. In this moment, save them for all eternity. Give them a new beginning today, I pray, and enable them to walk day by day by day for the rest of their lives with you. And for those who raised a hand to say, I want to leave some things behind so that as I walk out of this place, I am now living with the end in view so that my discipleship will be met with a good word on that day when I stand before God. God, would you, by your Spirit, do that work in us today? That's my prayer. That's my prayer. God, we love you. We praise you. And we just surrender our lives totally to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.